You're listening to the fourth series of Behind the Rhymes, the mountain we all climb, with me, Maya.
And me, Andrew. X. At 18, a man, younger and less jaded than I, marked a paper, eager for democracy. A right fought through the ages. He looked for the treasure, fabled to be found underneath the X on some hallowed, fabled ground. Dug deep, but never found these supposed riches just under the surface or deeper underground. Now the paper, crumpled, marked with noughts and crosses, as thrown, misses the bin and hits the floor. No more belief. No, not anymore. The shovel rusted, rests against the grave marker where politics died. And freedom's torch, now a spark, leaves behind much darker skies.
What lies behind these rhymes?
So it's called X, and X is a mark rather than a letter in this case, and it's the mark that you put on a ballot paper. So it's about the first time I voted, and what that meant to me when I voted at 18, and what it means to me subsequently, sort of many years later.
What did it mean to you when you voted for the first time?
It's one of those privileges that you get when you're 18. It's, you know, amongst the all the privileges you get at 18, that you can buy a drink in a bar, and you know, you can go to the cinema and watch an 18 film, and all the other freedoms you get at 18. You get the ability to vote. Up until that point, you don't have a voice. I know that some years ago there were calls to get 16-year-olds to have the vote. I think that may have been as part of the Scottish referendum. But it's a big deal, and you're taught that it's a big deal. When I come from a family, I wouldn't say it was a political family. My dad was semi into politics in the 80s as part of the Liberal Democrats. But you're taught to believe it's important, and the democratic process is important. And you've been given that right. You know, the old, oh, people have fought and died in wars for you. I've heard that many, many, many times.
And the suffragettes fighting for the right for women to vote.
Yeah. So there's a lot riding on the fact that you are able to vote. And it's exciting. And I remember I don't know if it was the general or the, it may have been the general or local elections. And somebody was taking a, interviewing people in my hometown for the local newspaper. And I was one of those people, and I remember being very enthusiastic, and she asked me who I would vote for, and I told her who I'd vote for, and you know, I told her why it was important, and I remember that enthusiasm, and obviously that enthusiasm has waned over my life over the last 32 years essentially.
You're referring to voting at elections for local government or for parliament, but you also mentioned the vote for referendum. These are qualitatively different votes because obviously referendums can be life-changing, although countries like Switzerland have referendums on minor issues. That's just a different political system that they go through. Are you perhaps referring to lack of belief or disillusionment with the political process rather than the concept of voting for change?
So we're often compared to other countries that don't have the democratic rights or the same democratic rights as we allegedly do in this country. You know, you talk about the suffragettes. I watched that film they made some years ago, and at the end of that film, there's a long list of countries that they are saying women still can't vote in these countries. So, you know, we're proud of the fact that women can vote in these countries, and you can vote from any religious background, and, you know. But for me, the choice of political parties, the differences between them is so minuscule now it really seems kind of pointless voting for one over the other. So I voted Liberal. My dad was a Liberal. I quite like the middle-of-the-road politics of the Liberals, for example. When they sided with the Tories and they had that coalition government, for me, it became really obvious at that point that there's so little difference between these parties, and I really became disenfranchised with the whole political system.
Do you believe that we live in a democracy, or is it just a phrase that we repeat, we are a democracy, to be convinced or to convince ourselves that we are living in a democracy while we are giving up or being robbed of our civil liberties?
So my daughter is studying citizenship at school currently, and has done for the last year or so, or a few years. That wasn't an option to study when I was at school. We had a discussion not that long ago, and she was telling me, oh, the citizenship teacher told us that the UK, or England, UK, is one of the top seven democracies in the world. And I look at the way things are going at the moment with this, you know, current government as we sit and record this in 2023. What they are planning is horrific. It's, you know, the removing the right to strike. They've already altered the threshold which you need to vote to be able to strike. They want to force people to strike. The democratic right to strike is going to be gone. They want to come out of the European Human Rights Convention. These are horrors. This is, you know, I read it recently that there's only two other countries that aren't in the Human Rights Commission. One of those is Russia, and the other is Belarus. And it seems like we want to be that country at the moment. And yet we pride ourselves in not being like those countries. And yet we really are like those countries if we remove those rights. It's horrible. It's really horrible.
Do you still vote?
I voted in the last set of local elections, yes. But I reluctantly voted.
And will you continue to vote?
That I can't say, really. I really can't say. When did you first vote?
In 1991, on the referendum for independence of Macedonia. So there I could feel making the difference, because I voted for independence. That was an overwhelming vote, almost 70% of the population, or just over 70% of the population. The turnout was huge. Obviously, that was a life-changing vote, once in a generation, once in a lifetime. And yes, there I was very enthusiastic and optimistic. A friend of mine today, by the way, on the day when we're recording this podcast, is the day of independence of Macedonia. So I remember that day. And a German friend of mine was traveling to what was former Yugoslavia at the time. So he said, on my way to Thessaloniki, I crossed four borders. But on my way back, which was after the 8th of September, Macedonia had proclaimed independence. And I crossed five borders. And I felt that with my vote, together with the other citizens of Macedonia, we made that happen. So that's big. Since I always vote as a matter of principle, because I actually believe that if you don't vote, the vote can be rigged by misusing your ballot paper. So I vote even when I, so to speak, don't vote, when I don't make a choice, when I invalidate my vote. Like you, I am not only disillusioned with how close the choice between different party is, how little choice effectively there is, but also even more so, and what I think is more dangerous, is this belief by political elites that you don't ask people for their opinion on important matters. So often David Cameron was criticized for putting the question forward about Brexit, because political elites who thrive on a status quo don't like the common people to have the option to change that status quo. And I think that's very dangerous. I really think that it's very dangerous to manipulate referendums, for example, to, you know, not listen to what the voters are saying. Because then you have a higher level of disengagement, which is what we're discussing about, which is it opens space for extreme views. It opens space for conspiracy theories. Yeah, and that is extremely dangerous.
It's this voter apathy, yes, that I've heard so much about, and now I am apathetic. It's quite interesting, really. If I met myself 18 now, nearly about to turn 50, I would be shocked, I think, at that process that I've been through in the last 30 years. I think one of the main problems is the fact that we used to heavily criticise countries like America for having a two-party system. They only have two parties there. But we really now have a two-party system here as well. I mean, the other parties are so sort of out of touch. They'll never get into power. So we have proper, the prospect of the Tories or Labour, or we have a proper prospect of a coalition like we had before, which I don't know. Some people think that was a good coalition we had. I think we ruined the country, and the Liberal Democrats betrayed their core values when they joined up there. They certainly lost my vote and interest from then onwards.
What made you disillusioned after 32 years since you voted for the first time?
The lack of change, I think, in things. The lack, the fact that things don't really seem to change, or if they're changing, they don't always seem to change for the better. You know, we've got this levelling up system at the moment. I was in Wrexham not long ago, which is now famous because of the football team being bought by the two Americans. But that place has suffered through not levelling up. That place had a pit that went, and the economy went with it. I come from a place not far from Sheffield that had the same problem. There's no levelling up. So successive governments have kept the money in London and the south and haven't spread that money north. And so whereas I had a belief that, you know, that maybe Labour would do something, or maybe the Liberals would do something, essentially I have a huge distrust of politicians. They are far too interested in their own agendas and their own longevity and their own business side projects and their friends' business side projects that when they get in power. You know, we often criticise countries for being corrupt. And here we pretend that we don't have corrupt politicians. But they just do it, well, they do. They do it in front of your face, but they pretend that, and they look down on countries like Macedonia that has corruption, but we have corruption on a much bigger scale than they have corruption in Macedonia.
Well, certainly the sums in questions are bigger.
Yeah.
Now that we know what X is all about, would you like to read it again for our listeners, please? You've been listening to Behind the Rhymes, the mountain we all climb, with me, Maya.
And me, Andrew. You can find all the poems from this series in my new book, Beyond the Bunker, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Write Poetry.
The book is produced by our publishing company, Anarchy. And if you want to order it, contact us at vonperestproductions@outlook.com,
where you can also contact us about other things, maybe even including a chat about the state of the world. X. At 18, a man, younger and less jaded than I, marked a paper, eager for democracy, a right fought through the ages. He looked for the treasure, fabled to be found underneath the X on some hallowed, fabled ground. Dug deep, but never found, these supposed riches just under the surface or deeper underground. Now the paper, crumpled, marked with noughts and crosses, as thrown, misses the bin and hits the floor. No more belief. No, Not anymore. The shovel rusted, rests against the grave marker where politics died. And freedom's torch, now a spark, leaves behind much darker skies.